Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. The Daily Show podcast has everything you need to stay on top of today's news and pop culture. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show, Ears Edition, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome, welcome one and all, in here, out there, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the ships at sea, to what we call The Late Show. I'm your host, Stephen Colbert. Ladies and gentlemen. What's going on? President Joseph Robinette Biden is in San Francisco today meeting with Chinese President Xi Jinping in the first conversation between the two leaders in a year. A year. They'll have so much to talk about. Trade tensions, global flashpoints, who got hot over the summer. Spoiler alert, neither of them. Now, before the meeting, both sides tried to play it cool and set expectations low. In fact, both countries said that whatever happened, both Biden and Xi would not put out a joint statement after the meeting. So it's just going to be a case of he said, she said. The best. I can't teach that. China has a good reason to want to talk to America, and it's cash. For the past several years, China's economy has been struggling with anemic consumer spending and high youth unemployment. It's gotten so bad that second graders can't get a job at the iPhone factory. What? And I'm being told, in response to that joke, Apple has canceled Jon Stewart again. Now, there you go. Biden's going to be thrilled to be out of D.C. because Washington is increasingly a toxic dump. But yesterday, there was a glimmer of governance when the House of Representatives approved a stopgap measure to avert a shutdown. It's a big relief. But before I forget, let me record a promo for 2 months from now. Tonight on The Late Show, the government is headed for a shutdown. Also, ravenous packs of wild dogs that now roam our streets. Is your front door strong enough to save your family? The bill is the first major piece of legislation passed by new Speaker of the House and sitcom dad saying, oh, Smokey, Mike Johnson. Johnson's bill had one major innovation. Unlike the stopgap passed by Kevin McCarthy, Johnson's so-called two-step stopgap bill would fund certain parts of the government until mid-January and others into early February. That is genius. Because instead of just kicking the can down the road, Mike Johnson cut the can in half, so now they have to kick two smaller cans down two longer roads. Johnson needs, what's he need, two-thirds? He needs a two-thirds majority, because to stop the bill from being killed in the House Rules Committee, he used a procedure known as suspending the rules. You can just do that? The gentleman from Kentucky is out of order because the floor of the house is now lava. Two for flinching, no drops, no bombs, no backsies, no fudges, ollie ollie taxes free. It is a victory oxen free? Oxen or all come? Ollie ollie oxen? Ollie ollie all come?
Ollie ollie.
I don't know. It's a victory for the new speaker, but Johnson's Republican colleagues are pissed because the bill contains no spending cuts and was only achieved by partnering with Democrats. And as we know, every time Johnson reaches across the aisle, his son gets an alert on his phone. Now, accountability. Accountability partner. Now, you'll recall that when Kevin McCarthy, former speaker, partnered with Democrats to avert a shutdown, he lost the speaker job. But it appears Speaker Johnson is safe for now. I'll let Virginia Congressman Bob Good explain it real bad.
We believe he's a conservative. We believe he's a trustworthy, honest guy. We did put him in the game in the fourth quarter when we're down 35-0, so we can't hold him the same standards as the guy who got us to that 35-0 deficit. However, we don't expect him to come in and punt on third down, and that's what we think he's doing here.
Clearly, even talking about football causes brain damage. Brain damage. The shutdown battle is the latest example of Republican infighting, and yesterday it became outfighting. There were some Donnybrooks in the halls of power, or as the media described it.
Apparently, Washington's Fight Club officially got underway yesterday.
Senate Fight Club.
Fight Club.
Fight Club.
Well, you know the first rule of Fight Club. Let's talk about Fight Club. For the record, I believe it is wrong for adults, especially representatives working on behalf of you, the American people, to resolve their differences with violence. But as long as they're doing it, it's time for...
The Thunder in the Rotunda! Capital punishment in the Capitol! Congress has filed a motion for pain!
First up was the undercard, House Republican Tim Burchett versus former Speaker Kevin McCarthy. See, Burchett is one of the eight Republicans who voted to oust McCarthy. And while he was doing an NPR interview yesterday, he took a hit from the former speaker. Let's listen to the audio.
Why'd you elbow me in the back, Kevin? Hey, Kevin, you got any guts?
Jerk.
No, Kevin McCarthy has guts. But he doesn't have his balls. They're close. But there's a difference. When McCarthy was then asked by a reporter about his flying elbows, he denied everything.
Why would I punch somebody? Why would I kidney punch somebody?
But like that,
and if I kidney punch him, he'd be on the ground.
Yeah. If I hit him, he'd be on the ground, and then I'd kick him, and I'd take his bike and his Pokemon cards, and his girlfriend would be my girlfriend, and then people would like me. After McCarthy's denial, Burchett doubled down.
You're quite confident this was deliberate.
Oh, yeah. Come on. I'll take a polygraph test.
Okay. That's not how polygraphs work. I'm telling you, Julia Roberts wants to have sex with me. No, I've never met her, but I'll take a polygraph test. I mean it. But yesterday's title match was the near brawl between Oklahoma Senator Mark Wayne Mullen and the head of the Teamsters, Sean O'Brien, right over there. Mullen is a former MMA fighter, and as we reported last night, exclusively on The Late Show, he interrupted a Senate hearing to challenge the boss of the Teamsters to a fight until he was stopped by a surprise cameo. Take a look.
Sir, this is a time, this is a place. We can finish it here.
Okay, that's fine. Perfect.
You want to do it now?
I'd love to do it right now.
Well, stand your butt up then.
You stand your butt up.
Oh, hold on. Oh, stop it.
Is that your solution, every poet?
No, sit down.
Sit down. Look at you.
You know, you're a United States Senator.
You sit down. Sit down, you two. You. Sit. You. All of you. All. Sit down. Sit. Sit. No. I'm breaking up this fight. I'm gonna break up this fight like it was a big bank. Now, let's take a moment to appreciate the fact that I'm the only senator who's being recognized simply by his socialist finger point. Look, I'm a cat. Now I'm a dog. I'm a fox. Je suis un Reynard. Now. Now, picking a fight on the floor of the Senate is bonkers. But last night, Mullen went on a media blitz to argue, no, it's not.
Are there any
actual Senate rules that if two consenting adults want to duke it out, could you guys go bare knuckle if you wanted to? Just the rules.
Well, we looked into
that.
The rules, and you know, you used to be able to cane. You got to remember President Andrew Jackson challenged 9 guys to a duel and won 9 times. So at the end of the day, there is precedence for it if that's what someone wants to do.
Precedent, sure. If somebody's done something before, it's perfectly fine to do it again. That's why when I was a child, my dad used to take me hunting for Archduke Franz Ferdinand. Now, in a different interview, Mullen explained that not only is he ready to fight, he'll do whatever it takes to win.
I'm not afraid of biting. I will bite.
Biting?
Bite, 100%. Yeah. I mean, a fight, I'm going to bite. I'll do anything. I mean, I'm not above it. And I don't care where I bite, by the way.
Wow. It takes true courage to go on television and say that for a righteous cause, you're willing to munch on junk. Good for you, Mark Wayne Mullen. Just, you go ahead. For the Republic, you snap into a Slim Jim.
Whoa.
This is real. This is our country. This is our country. There you go. You try understanding that, sir. At the end of the day, Mullen explained that this is exactly what he was sent to Washington to do.
I mean, what did people want me to do? If I didn't do that, people in Oklahoma would be pretty upset at me. That's not how we raise. I'm supposed to represent Oklahoma values.
Yes, who can forget the Oklahoma State motto, no mercy, bite his sack. Oklahoma with a It's not surprising that violence is a selling point for the Republican Party. The GOP hopefuls for 2024, in fact, are already adopting the strategy. Just look at this new Republican primary campaign ad.
It's a tough time in America, and we need common sense solutions to real problems. Problems like punk-ass congresspeople whose kidneys need a visit from my elbow. I'm candidate for Wisconsin's 4th District, Patricia Corker. Known to my enemies as Stabby Pat. I spent 10 years as a public school teacher and 20 in Supermax for a crime I pled guilty to because I'm proud of what I did to that man's neck. And I'll do it again for you in Congress. So vote Patricia for better jobs, Patricia for a brighter future, Patricia for cutting a bitch. I will burn down their homes and laugh in the ashes like an avenging angel of pain. I'm Patricia Corker, and I don't even feel this.
We got a great show for you tonight.
Coming up, Paul Giamatti.
Here's the thing about eating. We all have to do it, sometimes even a few times a day. But if you already have a lot on your plate that isn't food, like stuff to do, figuring out your meals can be stressful. By the time you get breakfast going, it could be lunchtime. And then what? Eat your breakfast for lunch? Is that allowed? Yes, you're a grown-up who can make their own choices. And whether that choice is eating breakfast for every meal or bending to society's construct of proper mealtimes, you can eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals that can be ready in as little as 2 minutes. Tailored to your schedule and weird eating habits, you have the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. Pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your cool new breakfast-only lifestyle. You can even try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus, if that's what you're into, for breakfast. Or any meal. You do you. Head to factormeals.com/lateshow50 and use code lateshow50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code lateshow50 at factormeals.com/lateshow50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Folks, my first guest this evening is an Emmy and Golden Globe winning actor you know from Sideways, John Adams, Cinderella Man, and Billions. He now stars in the film The Holdovers.
There was an incident when I was at Harvard with my roommate.
And?
He accused me of copying from his senior thesis, plagiarizing.
Well, did you?
No, he stole from me. That blue-blooded prick's family had allies on the faculty. I mean, their last name is on a library, for God's sake. So he accused me in order to sanitize his treachery, and they threw me out.
Hey, so you got kicked out of Harvard for cheating?
No, I got kicked out of Harvard for hitting him.
You hit him? What, like punched him out?
Nope, I hit him with a car.
Please welcome Paul Giamatti.
That's a strong crowd. Thank you. Lovely to be back.
Always nice to talk to you.
Yes.
I want to get into The Holdovers, which I think is a beautiful movie that everybody should see.
Yes, indeed. Thank you.
But first, I want to talk about the thing that people may not know about. I hope they all know about it, which is that you have a podcast Professor Stephen Asma.
Correct.
Called Chin Wag.
That's right.
Which I have done and enjoyed immensely.
You were an incredible guest. You were maybe the best guest we had.
It took me a long time to say that.
Is there a
guest, like a white whale for you?
Big game that I really want to get.
Besides some other folks. Yes, Amy Sedaris, Paul Rudd.
Roman episode.
Mary Beard was a great Roman historian.
Yeah. I do have one in mind, in fact. And the big game I want to bag is Cher.
Wow. Come on.
Can you feel that? Me and Cher in the same room talking about Sasquatch? Can you feel that?
Now, what's the problem here? You're Paul Giamatti.
I don't know.
Call it up and say, Cher, this is the time.
Yes, I know.
We're sending the team with the microphone.
Apparently, two times in the past couple of years, I've gotten messages from my agent. They say to me, Cher wants to talk to you for some reason. And I
just
go,
why? Cher wants to talk to you.
And it almost sounds
like you're in trouble with Cher.
Totally.
We should talk, Cher.
Yes, totally. And I go, okay. And then I never hear anything. It goes away, and then it comes again. Cher really needs to talk to you. And I'm like, what the is going on with Cher?
She needs to talk to you. Yes. Sounds like she needs a liver. Or a kidney.
Listen, I got him. Okay. If Cher needs a kidney, I have one.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think Cher, that when I interviewed her last, she said she watches the show. So
fantastic.
Do you want to just put the invitation right down the pipe right
there? Wow.
There?
Oh, so just, I can just look, right. Where am I looking? Right down here?
Yeah, right there with the light.
Cher, it's Paul Giamatti. If you're watching, baby, I'm here. Okay, that's it. All right.
No, hopefully.
I don't want to go too far.
I don't want to scare her off. Save something for the podcast.
Okay, great.
What I love about Chin Wag
is
that your embracing of the mysterious.
Yes.
That it's all about answers and being open to the inexplicable
in the
world.
The mysterious and things
Have you had the inexplicable, the numinous beyond your comprehension?
Yes, I have. I've had a lot of experiences like that. It was one of the reasons I do the show. You know, one of the reasons I do it is I said I'm tired of not talking about Sasquatch. I'm tired of not talking about ghosts.
You know what? It's about damn time.
I know. So I've been
Where do you find the courage, Paul
That's
Giamatti?
That's exactly it. It's time for me to speak out about ghosts. So I've had a lot of ghostly things happen to me. Yes.
And like apparitions?
Or strange things. Yes, I've never had an apparition, but I've heard weird things.
I have a photo. Is this related to that? Because I was given this and said at some point it might come in handy.
Oh, yes. Okay, sure.
Explain what I'm holding
here. Oh, well, this is a whole...
This is either a play or something very upsetting.
That's right. I told your producer this story. Yes, I'm talking to a skull. I was in the play Hamlet. I was in Hamlet. And, you know, Shakespeare, Macbeth is a famously kind of haunted play.
Yeah.
Hamlet is too, because there's a ghost in it. So I'll make this quick, but the father of Hamlet's ghost appears to him, right? And so in our production, I'm playing Hamlet, the ghost appears. At some point, he hands me a dagger, and I'm going to use this dagger in the rest of the play to threaten people and then kill Polonius, the old man, and stuff. So I have it. In our production, it's a modern-day production, so it's a big-ass knife. It's like a Bowie knife. It's like a bayonet. So I got it in a scabbard on my side. So I'm walking through the play, the rest of the play. I come out and I do To Be or Not to Be, famous speech. I've got the knife on me. I would do a little kind of stuff with the knife.
Bear Bodkin.
Yes, Bear Bodkin, all that stuff. And so the scene goes right on, and I keep talking to Ophelia, who comes out. So the scene continues. I'm doing the scene. I'm sort of berating her. And all of a sudden, I notice my knife is gone. It's disappeared. And I'm looking around the stage. I'm doing the lines, and I'm looking around the stage, going, where the f*** did my knife go? Like this. And I can tell she's going, where did his knife go? Like this. And you would have heard this thing fall out or seen it. I'm looking around. I go off stage. Stage manager says, where the hell did your knife go? I go, I have no idea. I had it when I went out. They send stagehands out. They search the stage during the intermission. They look in the audience. They can't find the knife. So they give me a bad rubber knife to use for the rest of the thing. I'm like, this is going to look stupid, but I got to... So it comes up to another intermission. We go off, never found the knife. Come back in, there's a piece of scenery flies in from way up in the top of the theater, Lansdowne. I'm supposed to come walking in to threaten Claudius, who murdered my father, to threaten him with a knife while he's praying. So I'm about to walk out behind this piece of scenery where there's all these archways and these steps, and the stage manager says, look out there in the middle archway. And I look out, and my knife is lying in the middle archway on a piece of scenery that was 100 feet up in the air.
Was Claudius played by David Blaine? That's amazing.
It was crazy. I swear to God this happened.
Wow.
I swear to God this happened. And the other weird thing is a buddy of mine who was there came backstage and said, oh, this was great. You were terrific. Thank you, I said to him. And he said, what happened to your knife in that one scene? You had it in the beginning of the scene, then it disappeared. And so to this day, I have no idea what the hell happened. It makes no sense.
Wow.
Ghostly. Tune into Chinwag. Share. You can do more of this.
This is where it happens, you can enjoy, Cher. We have to take a quick break, but don't go nowhere because that's Paul Giamatti, and he'll be here when we get back.
Enjoying this episode of The Late Show Pod Show? Then head to cohst.app/lateshow or visit the link in the description to fill out our quick 2-minute survey all about getting to know you.
Hey, everybody, we're back here with the star of The Holdovers, Paul Giamatti.
Oh!
I am so happy to talk about The Holdovers, which I saw last night for the first time. It's funny, it's heartbreaking, and it feels like time travel because I was alive in the early 70s when this takes place.
Yes.
And it's so wonderful. Like, you are transported there.
Yeah.
Like, in that scene in the liquor store, all of the bottles had the old tax label that used to be on all the liquor bottles.
Turns out Massachusetts, it's still 1970 in Massachusetts.
Wow. There it is.
Definitely in parts of
Tell the nice people what the story's about.
Oh, it's about three people who get stuck at a school over Christmas vacation. A teacher, a student whose family doesn't particularly want him to come home, and the woman who's the head of the cafeteria. The teacher has to look after the kid, and she's there because she has nowhere else to go. And they all form a kind of lovely little family. They discover they're very different people, and they discover they have a great amount of empathy for each other. And it's a beautiful movie.
A beautifully made movie. Alexander Payne is the director, reuniting you with him after you did Sideways,
Sideways
back in the day.
Yeah.
And were you a fan of his before you did Sideways?
I was a fan of his from the beginning, from Citizen Ruth, the first movie he made. I remember going and seeing Election in a theater, which is a great movie, if anybody's ever seen it. And I can remember turning to my girlfriend at the time, this is way before Sideways, and I said, if I could ever work with a guy like that in a movie like this, and I've done two movies with the guy, and he's a friend of mine. It's like, it's crazy. Talk about mysterious. Talk about strange, mysterious, manifesting something. It's crazy.
Well,
so Cher should show up at some point.
Your character is a bit of a curmudgeon.
Yes.
He's bitter. He has chronically sweaty palms.
Yes.
He has a medical condition where he, as the day goes on, he increasingly smells like fish.
He smells like fish.
Okay. Payne says the role was created specifically for you. Do you consider this a compliment?
I was deeply touched, let me tell you. I was deeply touched. How could I not? The part is fantastic. And it's a fantastic part. Smelling like fish was just was the cherry on top. It really was.
You're from an academic family.
I am.
And
yes, everybody's professors.
Were you able to draw on that? Like, what did you get from that?
All of the tweed
and the pipe?
Pipe smoke makes me think of this friend of my father's who was a wonderful, strange, eccentric guy. So weird, and, you know, all of them so odd and eccentric, wonderful.
Your character gets to say some fabulous insults.
Yes, he does.
Like, he calls the children snarling Visigoths.
That's right.
And hormonal vulgarians.
Hormonal vulgarians.
Do you have a favorite insult from this?
At the end of the movie, I shouldn't give this away, but I'm going to. I call the headmaster penis cancer. And what's great, I love, is that it goes from these high-toned things to that. That's the last thing the guy says. It's great. It's really
you
awesome.
You actually, the teacher is a teacher of antiquities Ancient history.
Roman history, right. Yeah, Latin.
Are you big into that yourself?
I am.
Is that something you might discuss on Chinwag?
We did with Mary Beard.
Oh, that's right.
Roman historian.
Yeah.
And I think it's one of the reasons, because again, I know Alexander so well, I think he put that in the character. I would smell like fish, and to make up for that, he gave the guy an interest in Roman history, so I would feel comfortable.
Paul Giamatti.
Sir.
Thank you so much for being here. The Holdovers is in theaters now. Paul Giamatti, everybody. Thank you for listening to The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert. Just one more thing. If you want to see more of me, come to The Late Show YouTube channel for more clips and exclusives.
Late Show Pod Show listeners can get 20% off on all Late Show with Stephen Colbert merchandise on ParamountShop.com. That's 20% off at checkout on all Late Show shirts, mugs, accessories, and more with code TLS20 at ParamountShop.com.
Rise and shine, football fans. Start your day the right way with Morning Footy, a podcast that covers every aspect of the global game, headlines, match previews, analysis, interviews, culture, fashion, and plenty of banter. Join as we track the thrills and spills of Europe's biggest title races, the business end of the Champions League season, a summer packed with international competitions, MLS, NWSL, and much more. Subscribe to Morning Footy.